Radio Prague News.
The country's spending watchdog has filed a criminal complaint over shortcomings at Czech tourism. The Czech Republic has signed a memorandum covering cybersecurity with Israel. And Czech archaeologists have acclaimed a 3,000-year-old find. Czech spending watchdog, the Supreme Audit Office, has lodged a criminal complaint against the state body tasked with promoting tourism, Czech tourism. The complaint is based on multiple counts of poor housekeeping at the agency. The spending watchdog in particular highlighted a series of cases where orders were made and contracts signed without any attempt to find the cheapest offer on the market. That covered, for example, the purchase of legal services and airline tickets. The alleged flaws took place between 2011 and 2014. The Minister for Regional Development also lodged a criminal complaint against the Tourism Office in March, but police investigations were later suspended. The Czech Republic and Israel have signed a memorandum on cybernetic security following a bilateral meeting of government ministers in Jerusalem on Sunday. The memorandum calls for regular exchanges of information and experts. The head of the National Security Authority, Dušan Navratil, was one of the members of the Czech delegation. Other subjects covered in the talks were cooperation over the medicinal use of marijuana and dealing with the problem of drought and increased cooperation over tourism. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka and seven of his ministers took part in the intergovernmental meeting. Czech police will be aiding their French counterparts during football's Euro 2016 competition, which begins on June the 10th. The Czech officers will mainly be on hand at areas reserved for supporters and at railway stations and airports. Some will also help French frontier police. The Czech contingent has been made available following a request for help from the French Ministry of Interior. The Czech group games take place at Toulouse, Saint-Étienne and Lens. Two of the country's biggest construction companies, Skanska and Eurovia, will each have to pay fines of around 500 million crowns each by the start of August. The regional court in Brno confirmed that deadline in rejecting the company's appeals against fines from the Czech Competition Office. The two companies were fined for membership of a cartel which split up the work on a major road development in the Czech Republic. Skanska's parent company is based in Sweden. Eurovia is part of the French-based Vinci multinational group. Czech archaeologists have described as the find of a lifetime a 3,000-year-old bronze bowl which was discovered in a field outside Prague. The discovery has been kept secret for around a year until the reward of 92,000 crowns for the finder was settled. News of the find was made public by Czech radio. The public will have to wait until the two-handled amphora undergoes substantial restoration work in Germany before it goes on public show. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news. Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, we pay homage to talented illustrator and designer Adolf Born. Czech businessmen complain of the country's red tape. And later, we have a roundup of the sports news. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Czech children's illustrator and author Adolf Born died in Prague on Sunday at the age of 85. During his career, Born, whose work has been part of the lives of several generations of Czechs, illustrated more than 400 children's books and also had some of his works adapted into animated films. Dominic Yoon reports.
Adolf Born's artistic talents covered a range of genres from painting, illustration, animation and caricatures. Born in 1930 in the Czech-Austrian border town of České Velenice, Born found steady work during the 1960s and 70s as a caricature artist, aided by a witty and distinctive style of drawing. Later, he shifted to illustrating children's books. Born's most notable collaboration in this regard was with Czech children's author Miloš Macourek. The pair worked together on dozens of books, some of which were also turned into animated films. For example, the popular series Mach a Šebestová, which premiered in 1982. Born heaped much praise on his colleague Macourek, calling him the most intelligent children's writer he knew.
Já vlastně jsem odkojen humorem pro děti Miloše Macoureka.
I am weaned on Miloš Macourek's humor aimed at children. We worked on so many books together that I can't even remember how many, nor can I remember how many ended up being filmed as animated stories.
A kolik bylo taky například jako natočeno v animovaném filmu?
Born was also a lifelong monarchist and adherent of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. During communist times, he even grew a handlebar moustache following the 1968 Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia as a form of subtle protest. He believed until the end that life was simply better during the old monarchy, abolished in 1918 before the illustrator was even born.
Protože taky byla větší úcta lidí k sobě samým.
People behaved more honorably to each other in those days. Back then, a handshake meant a binding promise, whether it was a carpenter would make a beautiful table in 1 week or anything else. A person's word mattered.
Truhlář udělá do týdne prostě bezvadný stůl, tak prostě to platilo.
Indeed, Born's style was directly influenced by his love of all things retro Habsburg. His characters often looked and dressed like they belonged in the 19th century or earlier still. He once said he enjoyed going against the grain, be it under the Nazi or Soviet occupations. He wanted to provoke in order to prevent, quote, marching in step into the pit with everyone else. He also said he wanted his drawings to live parallel lives next to the words printed in his books. Aside from Macourek, Born illustrated books by numerous other Czech authors, including Zdeněk Svěrák, Ivan Kraus and Vojtěch Steklač. He even illustrated a version of Pippi Longstocking books by Swedish author Astrid Lindgren. Genres spanned children's stories and fairy tales, but also comics, satire, historical works, travelogues and cultural observations. His works have been displayed in galleries from Montreal to Oslo. Born was also honoured many times, including receiving a Medal of Merit in 2003. A decade later, he received a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Annie Film Festival in Třeboň.
Dominic Yoon with that report. Business people in the Czech Republic have to deal with acres of red tape and spend far more time processing their tax returns and other paperwork than their peers in some other European states. Frequent legal changes are cited as a major part of the problem. Ian Willoughby reports.
According to an OECD study quoted by Czech Radio, Czech entrepreneurs spend an average 405 hours a year doing their taxes and other official paperwork. That works out at almost 17 days. In Denmark, the figure is just 5 days. Karel Havlicek of the Association of Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises outlines the scale of the bureaucracy facing his organization's members.
One of the biggest problems which burdens us with a high amount of administration is the taxation system, which is extremely complicated. We have to spend twice as long doing our taxes as, for instance, in Germany and Slovakia. And if we look at the Benelux countries, it's up to 10 times as much.
The country's Chamber of Commerce wants taxation and other legislation affecting businesses to be changed no more than once a year. The current approach is simply overwhelming, says the association's Tomáš Sikora.
In our view, the problem is that there is a constant merry-go-round of new laws and norms. We would like to see a more clearly laid out legal system. Take, for instance, the law on VAT or the legislation on health and social insurance. It's been changed 60 or 70 times. Business people can't keep up with all the new legislation.
Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka told Czech Radio that his government's championing of online communication with the tax authorities will make life easier for entrepreneurs.
We will look for ways to reduce the cost of administration. We want the filing of returns and payments of taxes, all interaction with the tax authorities, to be 100% via the internet. It will be 1 or 2 years before the tax administration completes that process.
Meanwhile, the president of the Czech Chamber of Commerce, Vladimír Dlouhý, says he's all for the increased use of the internet as a means to cut red tape, and he offers an example.
Look at these small Baltic states, which 25 or 30 years ago were part of the Soviet Union, which was regarded as backwards in this regard. But the Baltics are today the most progressive when it comes to making their administration electronic and reducing the burden on business. So let's look elsewhere than to the West, and let's not be afraid to do so. Vladimir Dlouhy, ending that report by Ian Willoughby. And now we stay with Ian for a roundup of the latest sports news.
The Czech Republic's footballers assembled on Monday to begin their preparations for the European Championship, which kicks off in France on the 10th of June. Pavel Vrba's men will play three warm-up games between now and then, versus Malta on Friday and against Russia and South Korea next week. But above all, the national team manager says he appreciates the rare chance of some intensive training.
It's been a long time since I've had the team together for 3 weeks. For me, it's something very different from meeting on Monday and then breaking up again on Thursday after a game. In that regard, it will be a very positive time, and I hope a time that will really help us a lot. I'm looking forward to it a lot.
13 of Vrba's draft 25-man squad were in Poland for Euro 2012, and the group are said to be older than their Group D opponents Spain, Croatia and Turkey. The coach could have brought down the age average by including, for instance, 18-year-old Václav Černý, who's begun making an impact at Dutch club Ajax. But Vrba says the midfielder isn't ready.
Of course, we all know that he's very promising. He's really interesting. On the other hand, I don't think he has enough experience of senior football to go straight to the European Championship.
Czech league champions Viktoria Plzeň have moved quickly to replace Karel Krejčí, who has left to focus on his post as assistant to national team boss Vrba. According to press reports, the man overseeing Plzeň's campaign for a third title in succession will be Roman Pivarník, a 49-year-old Slovak who has up to now been in charge at Prague club Bohemians 1905. Among the clubs that Pivarník's Plzeň will be facing next term are Hradec Králové and Karviná, both of which secured promotion from the second tier at the weekend. Hradec Králové bounced straight back to the top flight after a one-year absence. The Czech Republic swimmers left the European Aquatics Championship in London empty-handed. Closest to success were the women's relay team, who finished fourth in Sunday's final, 1.24 seconds off the medals. Czech team member Simona Bamurtová blamed herself for the result.
I'm really sorry about it because I lost the relay. Apart from the 200 metres, nothing really went well for me here. I'll have to think about where it went wrong. Compared to the other girls, my performance was definitely poorer.
And last year's finalist Lucia Shafarsheva got off to a winning start at the French Open. The 11th seed comfortably dispatched Russia's Vitalia Diachenko 6-love 6-2 on Sunday. Meanwhile, Shafasheva's compatriot Petra Kvitova had a first-round scare, but eventually beat Danka Kovinic of Montenegro 6-2, 4-6, 7-5 to advance in Paris. And that's all the sports news for today.
Now we turn to our regular feature, One-on-One with Ian Willoughby.
Tour company Eat With Locals allows visitors to Prague to do just that, taking them to restaurants and cafes they might never find on their own, and giving them the lowdown on various aspects of Czech food culture and more. The firm was started last year by Lenka Pavličková, who has both a background in business and a deep passion for food and travel. When we spoke at a cafe on Wenceslas Square, I asked Lenka what kind of people were signing up for the Eat With Locals tours.
Typically, we have guests from the US. It it's a large majority. They travel individually, usually. Then we have guests from Australia, from the UK. The minority is European guests, like from Germany, Austria, Scandinavia.
Is part of what you offer not just food advice and tips on where to eat, but is it also companionship? Are they looking for company to some extent?
Yes, exactly. I think food is one part of what we offer. They made a reservation or they booked our food tour because of the tour. But also they, they are looking for somebody local who would show them around, who would tell them how it is to live here in Prague, or in not only in Prague, but in our country. They also ask how it was during the communism. I am like younger, you know, so I mean, I cannot remember exactly everything. I don't have my direct experience, but I have it from my parents, and I remember something, you know. Just, you know, it's enough to explain them how it was like at shops, what was the selection at the restaurants, how we could not travel at all, like to the West or to other Western countries. So they, yes, they really want to be with somebody who is local and who can tell them, explain them how it is like being local and live here in the Czech Republic.
One of your tours is to Central Prague and the Old Town. What type of places do you visit on the tour?
Well, our tour, our concept is to have a tour with some continuity. So we start with some finger foods and snacks like chlebíček, open-faced sandwich, then we go to the butcher shop, we have some sausages, some meat products, then...
Actually, I wanted to ask you, what butcher's shop? Because you say it's one of the best in Prague. Which one is it?
Well, it's Naše Maso. Well, but it's just my opinion.
On Dlouhá?
Yeah, in Dlouhá Street. I like this place because they don't just sell the products, they do the small warm dishes, so you can jump there for quick lunch, for the dinner. And we like to shop there because we don't prepare meat meals at home very often, but if we do, we go to shop there, or if we are craving for something meaty, I mean, it's ideal place. I like the smell there, you know, the service is nice. So yes, so we go to Naše Maso. Then we visit Cutter restaurant, where they do like great trout, and also they have nice nakladaný hermelín, pickled cheese and aspik, tlačenka. So yeah, so we go to this kind of places, like where the locals like to go, despite of the fact that these locations are usually in the very touristic areas in Prague.
And these are areas where the vast majority of the restaurants are terrible in the tourist areas, right?
Yeah. Usually, like, if I look around during our, like, way, there are many restaurants saying traditional Czech cuisine, and then you see, first of all, the prices of all these places. It's, I think, impossible, you know. Sometimes it's much too much. And also, we tasted some places we went to prove them, and the quality of the Czech cuisine was not that good.
As well as the tour of the Old Town and Central Prague, you have a tour of Karlín.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the areas outside the center, why did you choose Karlín?
Because it's a nice small district, developing district, because after the flood, I mean, Karlín did quite a big progress. Every week almost there is new place opened, so it's nice to show it to tourists, because tourists, they don't know about this place. If they don't have a hotel there, you know, they pass this area.
Well, I think a lot of Prague residents would be interested to know what places are good to go in Karlín.
Sure, I can recommend, I like Crystal Bistro, which is French-Czech restaurant or bistro. So they have influences from these both cuisines, and I really can recommend their fruit dumpling. It's the best in Prague. Then I like Simply Good, small bakery. They do typical Czech frgale, Moravian frgale. Then Moušálek Kávy, nice place, nice cafe, great for weekend brunches, Veltlín, wine bar.
I don't know any of these places. I have to go to Karlín soon. When you do the tours, what particular foods or drinks do the tour participants really like?
It's roasted beef with sweet sour cream sauce and dumpling. Then they like beef tartare and meatloaf from Naše Maso. At the restaurant where we go, they have like seasonal menu. So, for example, the dessert menu changes like every season almost. So now it's like caramel cream pudding. And they love it, you know, I mean, it's the most popular dessert. And from the drink, yeah, it's beer, usually dark beer Kozel. Usually it's surprising because many people expect the taste of Guinness.
Typically, what do visitors expect from Czech food? And how does the reality compare to their expectations?
Sometimes they think just that Czech cuisine is not that good. They think that it's all about sauces and dumplings, and that we eat a lot of pork. So they are surprised that it can be very tasty, that it depends where you go, how they serve it, that it's not just about the dumpling, that we eat also like potatoes, mashed potatoes, that it's not just pork, that really that we like also beef, that we eat also vegetable. Overall, I think it's about this, that because they think that it would be something which is not that good, and they see that it can be, and it can be also, it's a kind of modern cuisine as well. You can see some modern patterns in our cuisine.
Are there any foods that people are typically reluctant to try, that they look at it and think, oh, I wouldn't like that?
Well, it's aspik or head cheese in Czech tlačenka, because when I say the translation like head cheese, they usually think that they will be eating parts of head, you know, but it was in the past, you know, when people, when they killed animal, they used the whole, every part. So for tlačenka, it was sometimes like the head parts. But these days, you know, they use like fine parts of meat, and also the structure, the texture of this dish, you know, because to have meat in a jelly, it's not for everybody, so they usually look at it. It happened to us once that one lady, she suggested to avoid this dish totally, like to completely not to have it in our like food tour. But I think it would be a pity, you know, because it's really something very traditional, and just to try it, it's nice.
Finally, I have to ask you, as an expert on Prague restaurants and cafes, what are your favorite restaurant and cafe?
I like Chester restaurant very much because their beef steaks are great, and other stuff, other meals as well. And especially if you like, for example, little buns with in vanilla sauce, like it's the place to the right place to have it. Then we just discovered also it's in our gastronomic scene for a long time already, Red Wine Atelier with French, mainly French cuisine. Yeah, I like, as I mentioned already, Crystal Bistro from cafes. I like Michele Cave, Emma Espresso Bar in Florence, Mama Coffee chain. Yeah, I like always when I have a coffee, you know, I like to have something sweet. So if I'm craving for something good, I like to go to If Cafe, sweet shops of Iveta Fabešová, because they do great like French pastry. So I like to go there as well.
Lenka Pavlíčková there speaking to Ian Willoughby. That feature was first broadcast in October last year. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be extremely glad to hear from you. But for me, Chris Johnston, thanks very much and goodbye.